If I say this phrase, "Hello, Seattle. This is Dr. Frazier Kramer, and I'm listening. Everybody remember the show, Frazier? Love that show. Premise of the show is these two brothers and their dad and all that kind of stuff. But the Frazier Crane was a psychologist. He's a pop psychologist on the radio, and his catchphrase was, "I'm listening." We spent last week introducing a sermon series for 6 weeks, wrestling with this issue: how do we hear from God? Understanding that. Spiritual formation, understanding that discipleship, understanding that becoming more and more like Christ, more and more engaged in the Christian life, has at its core listening and being shaped by and experiencing the presence of who God is. How do we listen? We spoke about a number of different paths and different ways that we all hear from God. Some of us hear from God in an intellectual path. We need to study. For others, it's relation and community. And for others, it's serving or active or activism. And for others, it's contemplation or even being in God's creation. But all of us want to hear at some level what Frazier Crane says. We want to hear it from God. We want to hear like God from heaven going, "Hello, this is Kevin. This is God. Excuse me." That's bad. We all want to hear from God. We all want to be able to experience His presence and His oneness in the midst of our trials and our struggles. In the midst of knowing what your next step is. What am I supposed to do in my life, God? I want to hear from you. God, I don't know why this loved one is experiencing pain and suffering. I want to hear from you. To listen, to hear, Webster defines this way, is to make an effort to hear something. And I underlined effort. Synonyms that were listed were this: to be awake, to be aware, to be intent, to be interested, to be enthralled. I want to hear from God. What if you use the word enthralled? I want to be enthralled with God. It's an active participation on our part. When you get frustrated with our kids, when especially when they're younger, it was not uncommon to say, "Listen to me." Right? When you get frustrated with your spouse, maybe you say, "Listen to me," but most likely you communicate it in different ways. You want to be heard. You want to be understood. There's examples in the Old Testament where it seems so clear. Adam spoke to God in the garden. Moses spoke to God at the burning bush. Noah spoke to him about how to build an ark. Abraham was communicating with God when he was told to leave his home. We all wish again that God spoke in some way that clearly to us. There are often times when we feel very lonely and very isolated, even in our Christian walk, even in our relationships, and we want to hear from somebody that we're loved and we're heard and we're cared for. And we especially want to hear that if God exists and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that somehow we are shaped by His voice, that we can hear Him, that He can guide us, and that He can direct us. Is everybody familiar with the artist Ben Rector? Anybody? He's went to the University of Arkansas. That's how I got introduced, right? That's where my son is at. But I've been listening to a lot of his stuff. Is he originally from Kansas City area? I think he is. Great stuff. And one of his songs, if you like music at all, I would encourage you just to download some of his recent stuff. One of his songs is called "Hideaway." And from what I understand, Ben Rector is a Christian guy. At least that's what I hear from Jer. And he has this line in this song, Hideaway. He says this, found out life was complicated, more gray and black and white. Sometimes I want to follow Jesus, but sometimes he's hard to find. I never care about believing till I see I lost my way. I'm like, yeah. Life gets complicated. It's desire to follow Jesus, desire to engage this spiritual journey, and desire to know more about what Christianity is all about, to grow in our faith wherever you're at. But it's usually not until life seems to go away that all of a sudden we become more attentive. I wonder if part of our not hearing from God is because we really don't listen for him. We're really not enthralled with him. Like the lyric, it's not until we've lost our way that we engage. This morning we're going to look at a text, and you know what? I did not even have a Bible up here. This morning we're going to look at a text in the Old Testament from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you have a Bible on your phone, that would be a place to look. If you see any Bibles in the back of the chairs, there still might be some in the back. And if not, there might be some in the back room. I know we moved many of those over. Apologize for that. So we're going to look at Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to look at the story of Eli and Samuel. We're going to look at the story of Samuel in particular being called. All right. I'm going to give you a little, I'll read the text, just so everybody kind of knows where we're at, since we don't have any. How did people do church back in the day without any sound system, without any PowerPoint? It's amazing. 3 chapter 1. All right, 1 Samuel 3 chapter 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There are not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. And at that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them." What we have here, what the context of this passage is, Israel was at the time in a period of disobedience. They had moved through their history from a time of prophets and were moving into a new era. Eli was the priest. It was the priest who mediated between God and his people. And Eli's sons who were supposed to assist their father, Eli, in the duties of a priest, in the duties of carrying out the priestly task, began to steal from the offerings of the people, began to have adulterous relationships while they were in the temple. They were indeed sons of the priest, but their titles did not keep them from sin and judgment. And so, as we heard in the story, it is God who now calls a young Samuel who is living with Eli. He's kind of like an altar boy at the time, and he hears God calling him. Samuel and Eli again had a relationship much like an altar boy. See, Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. All right. By his mother Hannah. Hannah had prayed for a child, and then Eli found her praying, and she was begging God for this gift of a child. And when she conceived, she dedicated her child back to God, to Samuel, to the temple. Early church history would put Samuel at about the age of 12, and he would have been involved in the mundane routine temple task at the time, lighting candles, cleaning things up. You get the idea. And the first thing, so with that as a context, we get to the first verse. And what we have in the first verse is this phrase that I actually found somewhat comforting as I was reflecting on it in our time in San Diego for the last couple of days. It's much easier to reflect in 65 and sunny weather, I'm just going to say. I'm kidding, but kind of. So I was reading it in the first verse that it was rare during that time for God to speak. It was rare. For me, and hopefully for you, that provides some comfort that throughout the history of God's interaction with his people, with us, that he does not speak as loudly and as clearly and as dramatically all the time. Right? Moses had experienced him in a burning bush, had experienced him on the top of the mountain for the Ten Commandments, but during this time of Israel's history, during this time, the people of God to hear his voice was rare. And that's the context of what was going on with Israel, what was going on with Samuel and Eli, and God's voice in that. It was a time we're hearing from God that was rare. What characteristics, this is what we're going to hit on, what characteristics do we see in young Samuel that I think help change our posture towards hearing from God? Right? How do we present ourselves before God where we can hear? This is not a simple check off these three, four things and you will clearly hear from God. That's why we're saying there's a general posture. There's a general position that you're placing yourself before God to hear from him. God, I want to know how best to pursue my career. God, I want to know how best to follow you. God, I want to know how best to be the husband or the wife that you are calling me to be. God, I don't just feel your presence like I used to, so on and so forth. What kind of posture should we have when we're engaging this stuff? Okay. First thing I will say is in verse 1, we get this phrase, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, right? The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. He demonstrated a servant's heart before God spoke. Samuel's tasks at that age were small. They were menial in many ways, right? Light the candles, clean the tabernacle, just essentially follow Eli around and do what he needs to be done. There was not a lot of position. There was not a lot of authority. There was not a lot of prestige. Again, he was just a young kid, but he ministered before the Lord with Eli. And I think it's important that part of the posture that Samuel had before God was faithfully serving, even in these small tasks. And to ask ourselves the question or begin to wrestle with the question,
how are we faithfully serving even in the small things? Because I think while you're ministering to the Lord, while you're serving, while you have that type of heart, is when we're most accustomed or we're most in a position to hear from God. Second thing I would point out is this. In 1 Samuel 2:26, so right before this, it says, the boy, I can even read it for you. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with all men. And that was something that was referred to in, about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, if you want to read ahead to that point. And it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and men. The concept of Shema, the concept of loving God and loving people, not simply the outward acts of lighting the candles and cleaning the temple, but there must have been an inward growth that was demonstrated in the life and actions and works of Samuel. The boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and men. There was implied here an outward living of the command to love God and to love your neighbor. And the young kid had it. He continued to grow in his stature. Continued to find favor before God and men. How? Right? Deuteronomy had already told us, and we read throughout Scripture, right? He had demonstrated his love for God. He had demonstrated his love for men. There was a growth in his spiritual development. That's what we're talking about through this whole series as well. How do we not only hear from God, but how are we shaped by him? How do we grow in our spiritual development to be more and more like him, more and more like what he intended? I don't know what God's will for my life is. I don't hear from God. My spiritual life is dry, so on and so forth. How are we engaging, intentionally even engaging that walk? Apparently, that was something that Samuel was doing. There's a willingness and to be persistent and to demonstrate an effort to listen. Samuel clearly demonstrated an effort to listen. The Lord called Samuel four times, in verse 4, in verse 6, in verse 8, in verse 10, and he kept responding. Eli at first thought that he was hearing things. Go back to bed. That's what I would have done. There's little things in life that when I'm in tune to God, I see God and hear from God in conversations with people, in circumstances. Most of you know we moved from Michigan to Kansas City without knowing anybody to do ministry. And during that time of discernment, when we were seeking intently to hear from God, it was little things. We would make a decision. I clearly remember talking. Kelly and I talked, we were going to stay. We had other opportunities that were much safer, for sure. And then the phone would ring. And it would be somebody from a committee somewhere saying, hey, checking in, we're still, you know, wondering if you're heading to Kansas City. Somebody would say something. We actually had an intentional night with the elders of the church that I was part of, and myself and the elders got together, and we had a night of what we called listening prayer, where we prayed collectively and then individually went out on our own throughout the church for an hour. So about an hour together, and then an hour on our own, and write down anything that we thought we might be hearing from God. And came back, and everybody kind of heard the same thing. At the end of that night, we went to Kansas City. Okay? There was an intentionality about it. There was a persistence about it. If
finally, Eli recognizes, this might be from God. When you hear from God, how do you respond? Maybe a phrase that could be the core of anybody's spiritual journey. Speak, for your servant is listening. Sometimes I wonder if I don't hear from God because God already knows. Then I'm like, shut up. I don't have time right now. Do not mess with my life. All right? Seriously, I do not want any burning bushes. I do not want to know about any promised land. All right? I don't want to know any about that stuff. I don't want to build a boat. I just want to do my thing. All right? I want to do my thing right here. And matter of fact, I've got a pretty doggone good plan on how to do my thing. And I think it's consistent with what you would like, God. So instead of us having a conversation, I've submitted my plans. Go ahead, if you can put a little stamp on it, provide some resources, take care of things for me, that would be ideal. And I wonder sometimes my holy imagination, and we can have a holy imagination, is kind of picturing or sensing that God's going, hey, you want your plans? I'll give you your plans. You got like C-, D-plus plans. I've got like A plans. But if that's what you want, I'll let you wrestle with it for a while. Speak, Lord God, I want to hear from you. I am listening. I am willing. My posture towards you is one of humility, one of a willingness to go wherever you call. When we look at Samuel, we see a demonstrated servant heart. We see somebody that's growing spiritually. There's a willingness to demonstrate an effort to listen, and then there's a willingness to say, if I hear, I will go, I will follow, I will do. All right. He did not know what God wanted. He did not know if God would move him or take him to a strange place. He did not know the future. He did not know if he would be asked to offer an extreme sacrifice. But he said, speak, I'm listening. Your God, I'm your servant. Your plans, not my plans. And it's amazing when you have that attitude, how you see God all over the place. I've said this a number of times over the last few weeks, and I'll say it again and hopefully continue to say it during this series. Even with the screw-ups of this morning, screw-ups is the wrong way to say it. Even with the problems of this morning, with the heat and all that kind of stuff, we need to prepare your hearts for worship. Somewhere there's a big breath and exhale and say, wow, I'm going to church. I get to hang out with goofy, weird, unique people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Kevin, God bless his soul, is going to do his best to present God's word. But we know it's not really Kevin who's speaking. It's God speaking through his servant. And I wonder if our posture was that, instead of running around with the family. I've been there. No judgments, just reality. Running around to get some work done. Quick get in a game before church. We've done that too. I'm the pastor, for goodness sake. And you show up at church and you go, I just didn't feel it. I don't really know what Kevin said. Long. Oh, I remember. I don't know much about the music. What if we had that posture of Samuel, if things would be different? He was faithful and obedient to God. I'm going to finish this. I think I cut off early, actually. Remember we were reading about God speaking to Samuel? This is the Lord saying to Samuel again. "See, I'm about to do something in Israel, make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by his sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called to him and said, 'Samuel, my son.' Samuel answered, 'Here I am.'" Eli gets it right. He's calling Samuel his son. He knows what his own kids have done. "What was said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet. The point I wanted to make here was not only was he willing to listen, he did not know what God was going to say. Once God spoke to him and it was a very harsh message, he was faithful in following through. He was a young kid who had to tell the priest that he had screwed up and that there's going to be severe punishment for him. All right. Now, we just went through the Beatitudes of God's love and mercy and forgiveness, and we can talk about that, that it's always available to people. Point I'm wanting to try to make here is just that Samuel heard. It was a hard message and he followed. Often the task of hearing when we hear from God is challenging and will stretch us and will test our faith. God has a way of doing that. Remember praying, "God, I'll do whatever you want." Wow, change of direction. John Ortberg said this in the book that I handed out last week. God doesn't reveal himself to us to make us happy or deliver us from our loneliness. He also comes to us so we can be conduits of his presence for other people. God speaks to us so we can be conduits of his presence to other people. I want to conclude with these five little statements. How do we improve our ability to listen based on the posture that Samuel had? Spend time in your primary listening path. If it's intellectual, make sure you're reading some good books and some good commentaries and getting with other people who enjoy that. Relational, make sure you're coming to Wednesday night dinners or getting together for people with coffee. If it's contemplative or creation, get out for that bike ride and focus on God. If it's worship, put in that playlist and say, "I'm checking out for an hour. This is more important than anything else." I'm looking. If she ever says to you, "You know what? I want to listen to Shane and Shane," just let her go listen to Shane and Shane, right? That might be your worship or whatever your group is. Ben Rector, not Christian music, but great, all this stuff. Whatever that is, so focus on your primary listening path. You need to spend time with God in his word and in prayer. This is not a finger-pointing thing. This is not simply a cliche thing. God is revealed in his word. You learn more about who he is, and you learn more how much he loves you and forgives you and is gracious with all your stuff. And you're so jacked up to do what he wants to do the more time you spend with him in prayer. Right? I recommended this book, I think, 2 weeks ago. For me, it's a lifesaver. I can read to study, and that's really, really good for me. I enjoy that. This is just something that sits around the house. I can pick it up. It's a little devotional, and it's just scripture. I'm reading scripture and invited to pray. Engage Christian community. We're pretty laid back here about Sunday morning church, but it's important to be involved in Christian community. To have Christian friends, to be engaged in Christian worship. be honest with yourself if you are seeking the Lord's voice or if you're just simply looking to have Him bless your plans. It's a totally different way of approaching God. I'd like a confirmation on my plans. Be prepared for some silence. God, guide and direct me. I want to hear from you. God's faithful. And be reminded. Oh, shoot, the sheets are over there. I handed out the sheets with the little statements last week. Does anybody remember that? This is who I am in God, essentially. Be reminded that even when we don't hear, that doesn't mean God has left us. Nothing can separate us from His love, in height nor depth, past, present, future, angels, death, sickness, doesn't matter. Nothing can separate us from God. You with me? Crazy morning. I wonder if even in the craziness, that was part of how we were supposed to hear from God.